Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Broadus joins us every Thursday at this time on the BuyerSafety.com hotline. Good morning, Brian. How are you?
Thank you, Dallas Truck World, and good morning to you, boys.
We had a very smart football person tell us that our infatuation with Dak running can be looked at from a 4-3-3-4 standpoint. That it's much more difficult to do it against 3-4 defenses. And it's just not something that we can call for and bang our hand on the table about every single week.
Yeah.
That it is much more effective versus 4-3s. How legit do you think that is?
Oh, I think there's some merit to it because what's happened is, you know, you're having to account for stand-up outside linebackers.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest thing is that now if you get some guys like Washington who play a 3-4 front and they play with, you know, what they'll do is they'll crash their outside linebackers. I mean, crash, take them down inside. You know, that's something, you know, Preston Smith and Kerrigan and those guys, they're interested in trying to stop the inside run first or stop the ball carrier inside. And then they have their linebackers scrape over the top, their inside linebackers. So a lot of it has to do with the fit in the way you handle that from a scheme aspect. But it's, you know, capable of doing, because if you're able to get somebody up on the second level with those linebackers that are scraping, then they're exposed on the edge because they have no force player on the outside. So, yeah, it's a little bit different, again, because of the stand-up aspect and the way the defense is configured. But, you know, I don't see the Cowboys going away from that. I think that's something in their game plan. That's something now in their DNA that they realize that, hey, you know, this is a good way for us to kind of keep people off Ezekiel Elliott. If there's the threat of somebody running the ball on the outside and then you're sitting there continually crashing down inside, well, then there's going to be some problems. So anything to keep the linebackers and the defensive ends wide will help the inside run game, and that's something that the Cowboys, you know, when they're really humming along, they can get Zeke going where he takes that ball inside and then makes that cutback. It's been a little bit more difficult since Travis Frederick hasn't been in the lineup, but it's something that he has the capability of doing.
Now, with that, has there been times where that, you know, the keeper was option was there and Dak missed the read and handed it off instead of taking it and running, which would have been the better play?
Oh, there's always going to be mistakes in the game. I mean, I'm not going to say I think Dak Prescott's one of the best ball handlers. I mean, that I've seen. There's been some guys throughout history that have done a great job. Steve DeBerg was great. Mm-hmm. Boomer Esiason was great. I mean, there's some guys that, you know, if you look at some of the plays that they've been able to make, Dak had a great one the other day where, you know, he threw his right hand out there, had the ball in his stomach, and everybody's flying with Ezekiel Elliott. Then they throw the waggle back coming the other way. I mean, there are things that he can do with every ball carrier, every quarterback, you know, after he has a read and he goes inside, and, you know, you could kind of tell when they're like, oh, geez, I should have pulled that one. But, you know, I think overall the judgment that Dak has for that, or the feel that he has for that, is actually you're going to win more than you're going to lose on those snaps.
Brian brought us here on The Fan from DallasCowboys.com. So how much faith, where's your trust level in the offense? They go into Jacksonville 16 a game. They explode for 40. Like, how do you decide what to carry over in terms of your trust level of what this offense is going to be?
Well, you know what? They proved me wrong. I know you've been very adamant they proved you wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, I took an L in this one because I didn't think that Dallas –
anyone who had them playing like that is Mickey Fisher, and that's the beginning and the end of
it. Well, the thing that I think that we didn't really look at is the situation, and I should have done a better job of this looking at the game, is I focused in on the outside receivers, and I didn't focus in on Tyler Patman. You know, that's where I should have said, okay, they're going to wear Tyler Patman out in this game. You know, and the week before against Houston, Houston's secondary wasn't any good. And I usually could tell you, okay, attack this guy, do this, do that. And, you know, they just could not generate any type of blocking up front to help their, you know, help the ball getting down the field.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's why one of the reasons why you take the loss. Well, this week, what do? You say, okay, and the players were even saying this after the game. I know that there was a lot of, you know, talk about, hey, we felt like watching the tape on Wednesday, Thursday, that we can make some plays in the secondary. And clearly it was, you know, the Jacksonville's cavalier approach. Todd Walsh, the defensive coordinator, is thinking, okay, you know, hey, we can cover you on the outside. We don't need to do anything exotic to help anybody here. You know, and for the most part, you would say, well, that's a pretty damn good plan when you're playing against the Cowboys because they have nobody to get that gets open. Now, the running game was huge in this game, and I'll tell you why, because if you look at what Dallas's receivers really did, Cole Beasley was your primary player, but everyone else had one catch.
Yeah.
You know, that's where you're sitting there going, okay, well, somebody else has got to step up and be, you know, have, you know, if you're going to have five targets, how about four catches? You know, if you're going to have six targets, how about five catches? You know, I mean, that's somebody's going to have to play in this game. It can't be just, okay, you know, here's one catch for you and one catch for you and one catch for you and, you know, and nine catches for this guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're going to have to be better, you know, doing that. But I think Jacksonville had a very cavalier approach. And, you know, I just don't see the Redskins, and they play a ton of zone coverage here. You know, they really, really do. So let's see how quickly, though, that they adjust to Cole Beasley. That's Fabian Monroe playing in the slot for Washington. And, you know, and if they sit there and give Cole Beasley free access in these routes, well, you'll see exactly what happened last week. He'll wear you out. So I just don't see the Washington saying, you know, okay, we're going to let Cole Beasley run free. So it means somebody else is going to have to clearly step up in this game.
Brian brought us, joining us, firesafety.com, hotline 105.3 The Fan. Do you think that the Redskins are better off with Alex Smith at quarterback versus all the years you saw them with Kirk Cousins?
Boy, I tell you what, Kirk Cousins was always hard for me to watch in a way that I expected, you know, a 420-yard passing game, but I also expected a loss.
Stat filler.
Yeah, I mean, this guy, no, I mean, there were times when he would just wear you out. Matter of fact, Kirk Cousins, you know, got that Sean McVay's job out in L.A., if you really want to think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, he took some, you know, he's taken guys like the Jamison Crowders and people like that and just wore people out and, you know, read the tight end. And so, yeah, it's one of those things where you still – the thing that Smith will do is Smith will probably run a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know, he will take the opportunity on a third down, and if he doesn't see it, he'll just take off running. And, you know, we get a first down and slide down. See, that's the thing. I hate playing against guys like that kind of can extend drives. You know, the best one ever is Aaron Rodgers and his ability to extend drives. But, you know, Smith can do the same thing. Now, I don't think Smith is nearly as an accomplished passer. You know, I mean, I think there's times where he's gotten touchdowns and low interceptions and all that.
Yeah.
But there's some routes that I'm watching that he's missed that I know Kirk Cousins hits in games.
Yeah.
And I've seen that before. And, you know, a lot of the crossing routes and things like that where Cousins just used to kill you on it. You know, if Smith gets a little pressure, and we always talk about quarterbacks and the eye level, and if the eye level comes down, then they tend to throw the ball a little bit low and into the ground. And I think that's what happens to Smith. But, you know, for the most part, I think that he's pretty much what they thought he was going to be. You know, I know that Gruden has come out and said, hey, we need more plays. But that's kind of what he is as a quarterback. If you're expecting more from him, you know, then you've misevaluated the player.
Are you more concerned with the Redskins in terms of their running or their receivers / tight ends?
I'm more concerned. I tell you, you know, Adrian Peterson has found the fountain of youth there. And, you know, and you look at the games that they've won, he's averaged right at 104 yards, which for a 33-year-old back, I think is fascinating in itself. You know, he doesn't have the burst, or I should say the finish, that long extend finish that he once had. Mm-hmm. But he still has the vision. He still has the ability to be physical, the high knee action. You know, if you try and come up and tackle him low, he's just going to run through you. So I give them a lot of credit. You know, they went out and they tried to draft my running back from LSU, and you know, and then he blew out his knee. And next thing you know, they're looking for a running back. And, you know, Chris Thompson is a good player. He's been a little bit banged up himself. And, You know, I like what the Redskins are doing running the football. I think their offensive line is healthy. Dallas has played them in some games where they haven't really been healthy, you know, and there's going to be some really good matchups with, you know, Trent Williams going against, you know, with Taco and Randy Gregory and those guys over on that side. So, you know, if you could find a way to slow down the running game, I do worry more about the running game than I do them throwing the football. Again, like what I talked about with Smith, I just feel like that there's ways that you can kind of defend him. But, you know, if they get Adrian Peterson going in this game and then it turns into a bunch of play action passes and stuff like that, you know, that could be problematic for the Cowboys.
So every year we just focus on one name with them defensively. If Ryan Kerrigan stand out, sounds like Josh Norman has fallen off except for last week.
Right.
What else is there to know about them defensively? Are you loving their D-line up front? I know you guys scouted some of their Alabama guys.
Absolutely, yeah. KT and Jeff, and I'm sure in all their shows, they're talking about Jonathan Allen, and then they're talking about Daron Payne, you know, and then another SEC guy. And I don't think this guy gets nearly enough credit, you know, when you look at him, the way he plays is Preston Smith. And the walk-off the other day, I asked Garrett, I said, they, you know, Kerrigan seems to get a lot of praise, but, I mean, he plays on a team that's really up and down, and people really don't know how good of a player he is. But I go, Preston Smith, to me, looks just as good. And he goes, no, you're absolutely right. He goes, Preston Smith is the guy, you know, as an outside linebacker, he can run you down from the backside. He plays really well when the ball's at him. He can cover. He can knock balls away. You know, he's really a complete linebacker. And, you know, you would think, oh, all he is really was just a rusher. But he's developed into a really nice player for them. So their front seven is you know, I wouldn't compare it to Jacksonville. But I tell you, they got a couple of young guys, like I said, and Allen and Payne, that if you don't block them, they could be a problem to you know, for your running game because of how physical they are at the point of attack. But keep an eye on Preston Smith. He clearly is. You know, Ryan Kerrigan gets the credit, but Preston Smith's one of their better defenders as well.
What should have happened on the Mookie Betts play?
You know what? I didn't watch the game. And I'm sorry to say
Have you
that.
Seen it on Twitter?
No, I haven't. Oh. I haven't. I'm sorry. I just I don't know. I mean, like I say, I was working on my notes last night. Mm-hmm. I was typing notes, and I was on KNC late. So I was just kind of doing that. But sorry. No, did fan interference? Is that what I'm hearing? I was listening to
yes,
you guys. I was listening to you guys coming in. Was it fan interference or not? Is there a rule that you can't put your hands over a certain point of the fence?
So the rule is, like, neither party can cross the threshold.
Yeah. So like, where's the threshold?
The like fence line. The fence just, like, the fence imaginarily just extends all the way up to the
ceiling. Is that a reviewable play?
Yes.
It is. Did they review it and say it was not a home run?
They did, but they also didn't have very good camera angles either.
You got to watch it on watch it now and then text me what you think.
Okay,
it's a 50-50.
Okay, I'm usually, you know me, I'm usually against the officials when it's anything to do because I feel like they ruin people's lives.
Yes,
but I will check it out and let you. I'm sorry, I was not prepared for that.
I know.
I was trying to work on figuring out how to move this football.
And your full time job.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thanks, Broadus.
Appreciate you, boys. Take care.
Ryan Broadus, buyersafety.com hotline.
Okay, picture this: it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.